I really, really enjoy being around and just observing like happy people. I don't know if you enjoy that as well, but it's just really nice, and it's very clear when you're around a happy person. They're just, it's infectious. Particularly maybe like people who are in love, maybe young love. We can pick on Jesse since he's not here. it's really great to be around happy people. You can tell that somebody's happy, and even that happiness is even directed at you, right? Like it just catches on. And there are some emotions that it's just really easy, emotional states, feelings that people are having. It's really easy to tell what's going on in a person. For example, it's pretty easy to tell when somebody is upset about something, when someone's sad about something, when they're distressed. You can tell something is wrong, maybe not what is wrong, but that something is wrong is also easy to tell. These are things that are, they're just lots of things that we show. Anger. Wow, it is really easy when somebody is angry at you. Conversely, it's very hard not to show that, you know, that you're being angry if that's directed at another person. But there are some, I think, that are more challenging to really show. And one of those is when we feel compassion. I think it's very difficult to tell when somebody feels compassion for you, right? Conversely, it is very easy to tell when you have failed to receive compassion. Here's a couple of cases. Not that this happens to me ever, but you come home from work and your wife is telling you about some problem, something about her day, and you know maybe she just wants me to listen, and I'm just really quick. Well, why didn't you do this? That doesn't seem. I mean, that would have fixed the problem, right? And it is painfully, not that that's hypothetical, it is painfully, I think we all have been in those situations, it is painfully clear that you failed to receive the compassion that you wanted. Okay, maybe for those who aren't couples, maybe for those who are in school as well, another time that I never experienced was, you know, you have some assignment due, some paper due, some something due, and you know you got to get it done, but you know life happens. There's a lot of stuff that comes up, and sometimes you know circumstances beyond your control keep you from finishing that paper, that assignment that you were supposed to do. And then you go and you tell the teacher, and what, the teacher wants to count points off anyway, right? They won't accept my work anyway. And in that moment, you are feeling the lack of compassion, and it is obvious when we fail to feel that compassion. And that's what I really want to talk about a little bit today. I want to talk about compassion. And specifically, we want to look at the greatest example of compassion I think that we have, and that's Jesus. And of course, whenever you say Jesus and compassion, the first thing that comes to our mind is his sacrifice, his death. So I certainly don't want to minimize that act of compassion at all. But I think that it's a mistake if we only focus on the compassion Jesus showed in his death. And this morning, what I'd like to talk for a few moments is about what Jesus shows us about compassion in his life. And if you do a search for compassion, it's tricky because sometimes your Bible might translate it mercy, which is highly related, just depends. But you will find in the New Testament several places that it mentions that Jesus was moved by compassion. Let's look at one of those together right now. In Matthew, the 9th chapter, we'll spend most of the time in Matthew today. But in Matthew, the 9th chapter, and starting in verse 35, this is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. In the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he spent a lot of time in the northern region around the Sea of Galilee. And that is a more rural area. And he went around and he was teaching and preaching in that area. That's what this verse is going to tell us. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel and the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. Verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I want to encourage you to not just pass over this statement that Jesus was moved by compassion. To really think for a moment about what that means about Jesus. You know, I always kind of wonder, what was Jesus like? I mean, we learn a lot about Jesus, a lot about his teaching. We learn a lot of things he was passionate about from the Gospels, but there's really precious little information about him. Some figures are that there's about 16 days worth of information about Jesus' life. And it's a lot, and we should know it. But that leaves a lot to my imagination. What kind of things were Jesus like? What kind of things made him happy? What kind of things made him sad? And what I want to impress on you this morning is that Jesus looked at the crowds. He looked at the people. He could see they were distressed. I mean, maybe your Bible renders what I read as harassed as distressed. He looked at the people. He saw they were suffering. He saw that they had problems. He saw that they needed him. And he was that moved, that touched Jesus. And I think this teaches us something really important about compassion. First of all, I think it teaches us that we really need to be around people, right? To be affected by them. It's really easy to segregate ourselves and not be around people and not have the moment to need to feel compassion. Jesus also had his inner circle. He had his 12 apostles. He had other disciples. He sent the 70 out two by two, right? He had a group of core followers, but Jesus spent a lot of time with the people. And those are not necessarily nice people, not the kinds of clean-cut people that maybe we think about. And sometimes spending time with people means that you're going to have the reputation of being a drunkard and a glutton. Jesus did. That's what they said about Jesus. But he spent time with people anyway. Sometimes you're going to have to let that woman of ill repute wash your feet. I think most of us, if something like that happened to us, we would be completely repulsed. Yet Jesus let that happen. He saw through what was happening and saw the compassion and the desperation that woman had. And these aren't made-up stories. Those things really happened to Jesus. So I think it teaches us that very important thing. To really show compassion like Jesus showed compassion, to be moved by compassion, we have to be in contact with people of the world. It's not going to happen otherwise. We also see that Jesus, when he was with the people, then he helped them to the degree that he could. And we see that in many different places. Let's look in Matthew 14. I'm just going to cover a few of the places where you see the phrase, you know, that Jesus was moved by compassion. If you go in and look in the scriptures deeper, you'll find lots of places where it specifically mentions a specific instance that Jesus was moved by compassion. Usually before he did some healing, before he raised somebody from the dead. In Matthew, the 14th chapter, and we'll start in verse 13. Now, this happens immediately after John the Baptist has been beheaded. So this is what happened next. Because it says in verse 12, the disciples came, took the body of John, and buried it, and then they went and told Jesus. In verse 13, it says, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. I want to suggest to you that John the Baptist wasn't just another guy for Jesus. He was family. That was his cousin. And clearly, we can see that this moved Jesus. It was difficult for him because it says specifically that he withdrew by himself to be by himself. I think it teaches us something about showing compassion that Jesus saw that the crowds followed him anyway, and he gave anyway. He healed anyway. He did what he could do, right, to help the people because they needed it, because he saw they were distressed, and that touched him. That moved him. We see other examples as well. I mean, despite the fact that it was a very inconvenient time for Jesus to be needed. We see other examples in Matthew, the 20th chapter. In this case, Jesus heals two blind men. In Matthew, the 20th chapter, in verse 29, it says that, and as they went out of Jericho, a great crowd followed him. Him here is Jesus. And behold, there were two blind men sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." The crowd rebuked them, telling them to be silent. But they cried out all the more, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." I want to tell you, these are two men who failed to receive compassion from the crowd. And you guys have all been in those kinds of crowds before. You're in a crowd and there's that one guy making like a really lot of loud noise. You don't want to be that guy, right? And you can feel the indignation of the crowd. Knock it off, right? Like, be quiet. Or you're in a theater or something or about to watch a show. Like, it puts us off. And that's what's happening here. These guys are saying, "Please have mercy on us." And the crowd is like, "Please be quiet. That, I mean, you are annoying us." So you see the reaction of the crowd. How does Jesus react? Verse 32, "And stopping, Jesus called them and said, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And they said to him, 'Lord, let our eyes be opened.' And Jesus, in pity," your translation may render that, "in compassion, touched their eyes, and immediately they recovered their sight and followed him." See, Jesus saw that scenario. He wasn't annoyed. He wasn't put off. He was moved. It moved him. He looked at those people who were blind, had been blind, and he's like, and that really touched him. He's like, what a challenge for them it must be that they're blind. I'm not trying to put words into Jesus' mouth, but I think these are the things that he had to appreciate if it says he was moved by compassion. And we also see this in other areas as well. When he fed the 4,000 in Matthew, the 15th chapter. And Jesus fed a multitude of people on numerous occasions. Several are recorded for us. And this is still early in Jesus' ministry. This is when Jesus is teaching around in Galilee, and large crowds would follow him. He attracted quite a crowd. In Matthew, the 15th chapter, in verse 32, we read that Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have had nothing to eat. And I'm unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way." The thing, as I was reading this and preparing this lesson, that struck me about this passage is, it's not Jesus' fault that the people followed him and didn't bring anything to eat. I mean, we would call that irresponsible. Those people are who follows somebody on a trip and doesn't bring provisions and food along with them? And yet, apparently, these people didn't. And it's not Jesus' fault it's not his duty to feed them. Yet, he looks on the crowd, and the text says he has compassion on them. It's like, these people have been following me, and they're hungry. And Jesus is concerned about them, concerned that maybe even they faint on the way. And I think what we can learn here about compassion is that we really need to get over the fact that people don't deserve it. That's actually probably quite the point. That's what it means to live a grace-filled life, the kind of grace that we've received from God to extend to other people. We probably need to get over the fact that that person doesn't deserve it. Probably need to get over the fact that that person could have made provisions for himself. Why should I help him? Doesn't seem to be how Jesus operated, at least not on this occasion. And that's where things start to really get to me, because I know that I've passed people on the sides of the road. I know that I walk past them, and I know those are the thoughts that go through my mind. Why is this person asking me for money here? Why doesn't he get a job? I know that that's what I think, and that's what I do. And I think that perhaps we all need to grow more deeply in our compassion when we look at people, particularly these unfortunate people of the world, you know, that we look on them with compassion and really be moved to help them. Jesus even taught about this in Luke, the 10th chapter. This is where we have recorded for us the parable of the Good Samaritan, a parable that we know quite well, a parable that Jesus teaches really in response to a very sarcastic Jew, because Jesus told him, you know, you should love your neighbor. And the sarcastic Jew says, okay, well, who's my neighbor? And this is Jesus' teaching on exactly who is his neighbor. In Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 30, Jesus says to him, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. I think the thing I want to point out here this morning to you is that it doesn't really say anything negative or evil about this priest and Levite. It simply says that they walked on the other side. I think at most we can characterize them as indifferent. They were indifferent. What's the difference, though? What's the difference between this priest and this Levite and the Samaritan? Let's continue. Verse 33. A Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. The difference between the Samaritan and the Levite is when the Samaritan went past, he looked at this person, and he was moved. That situation touched him. He was not indifferent. Right? He didn't feel nothing. He looked at him and saw a person in need, and that moved him by compassion. And I mean, Jesus, I'm sure, constructs this story in this way on purpose. It's a story. But we point out here that the priest was the person who was in charge of offering sacrifices to God. The priest was the person who dedicated his life in service to God. The Levite was the member of the tribe, remember that whose job it was to teach the law to the people. These are people who should know God's law very, very well, who spend their lives dedicated to it and teaching it, and they're the ones that are indifferent. And on the other hand, the Samaritan, who is considered the dirty, filthy thing of the world, is the person who shows compassion. And brethren, I feel that maybe you've had similar experiences, but I have been shocked and amazed in the past at people who I consider to be sinful, dirty people showing amazing amounts of compassion. And sometimes it shames us that they show much more compassion to others than we do. And this should be something that we, of all people, should do much, much better. In fact, that's actually Paul's point in several of his lessons, but right now we'll just look at the passage in Colossians. In Colossians 3:12, Paul writes to them, and he writes and he says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts." He goes on, but let's just stop right there. Paul impresses on us the need to put on compassionate hearts, that our hearts be dominated by that. Why? Because we are God's chosen ones. We are holy and beloved. Of all people, we should understand how wonderful a thing true compassion is, because we have been recipients of great compassion ourselves. And so as such, I think Paul uses that to impress on us the importance of living our lives compassionately, looking on the people of this world, putting ourselves in contact with them, and really trying to affect the change. Brethren, I think that we are definitely about teaching the lost of this world. We want to teach them, but perhaps converting somebody has less to do with preaching them a sermon and more to do with showing them the kind of compassion that Jesus did. Jesus showed people compassion and they flocked to him, despite the fact that he told them what their sins were. Right? The woman at the well, "This man told me everything I ever did." Right? Jesus said, go your way and sin no more. He didn't gloss over those things, but there was something about Jesus that drew people to him. And I would suggest to you that it's really hearts that are dominated by compassion. That's the lesson that I had this morning to share with you. I hope that helps trigger some thoughts. This one makes me a little uncomfortable because I feel that really need to grow a lot. You have a lot to offer. You are a powerful, powerful person. You have a lot of things that you can do. You have a lot that we can. We can't heal people like Jesus healed people, right? There are many things that we can't do in this life. We can't take away illnesses, but you have the power to affect lives eternally. And I think that that's something we need to consider strongly. Brethren, we always offer an invitation in all of our meetings and all of our lessons. That invitation is that if you're not a Christian, that you become one. And if you are a Christian and you need prayers of the church, then we also encourage you to make that need known, if not now, today. But we invite you to do so now while we stand and while we sing.